Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And good afternoon and welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We're glad that you've joined us. Well, there's movement at the Ohio State House as there has been an agreement between the House and Senate chambers on a bill, basically the budget bill that constitutionally has to be decided by June 30th. They did file an extension because there were differences between the House and Senate version, and so they are concurring on that today. From what we understand, it will be sent to Governor DeWine for consideration. He does have the line item veto pen of any provisions that he doesn't like in the state budget. In a future program, we'll have Greg Lawson of the Buckeye Institute on to discuss some of the budget aspects and what it means to your bottom line. But today we're going to talk about energy issues. We're going to continue our roundtable discussion on coal and how the coal industry is doing. Many people within the listening audience of this broadcast obviously understand the importance of coal generated fire plants and how it supplies the grid for the electricity that we depend on here in this state, as well as the nuclear plants. And there's word on House Bill 6. We'll discuss that, the good, bad, and the ugly of it in this discussion. With me on the phone is Mr. Bob Murray. He is CEO and chairman of Murray Energy. Also with me is Jim Martin, chairman of the 60 Plus Association, a senior advocacy organization nationwide. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Glad to be with you.
Thank you, Chris. We're pleased to be here.
Well, thank you, Mr. Murray, and we appreciate all that you do, and we continue to pray for your health and goodwill, sir.
Thank you.
Well, let's get right at it. Obviously, the Trump administration has been trying to keep its word to the coal industry, the coal miners, as he pledged on the campaign trail in 2016 that he was going to put our coal miners back to work. He was going to put the coal industry back in line, as the war on coal during the Obama years was decimating to the industry, had a far-reaching impact here in Northeast Ohio, throughout the Ohio region of Pennsylvania and Kentucky. And, of course, it really upturned the economy of the energy grid and, of course, the energy suppliers. Basically, they favored more along the lines of what they call renewables, wind or solar. That cannot get the job done. We've talked about that on this program. We're going to highlight that again. We're still waiting for the report from last year's polar vortex, which will indicate, again, that coal and nuke delivered the day once again to the upper Midwest from Minnesota, Wisconsin, that had devastating cold plunge last winter, and it is forecasted again anywhere between the upper Midwest over to New England will be another polar vortex, as the sun is in a very quiet cycle right now, and that's why we're seeing a very wet and cool summer for the most part, although it's been in the 90s here as of late. But some very strange variation, and that has to do with the sun cycle more than anything else. But gentlemen, as we talk about coal and its comeback, Mr. Murray, of course, we've witnessed here in Ohio on the rail lines, we've seen more coal being transported and course along the Ohio River, making its way to New Orleans. How is the exports for coal at this time?
They're terrible, Chris. Unfortunately, we're in a downward cycle for coal. Exports were quite high in 18. The API 2 index, which is the price coal sells in Europe, was $94 at the beginning of the year. It's now down to about 60. It was 50 2 weeks ago. So with that collapse of export prices, the export of coal from the United States has virtually ceased as far as thermal coal or steam coal for power generation is concerned. It's a very bad situation for coal domestically in the United States, as the utilities have chosen to build more gas plants, windmills, and solar panels. And the problem with that is, Chris, there was a new study just came out, a very good study by the Association for Clean Coal Energy, and that is that coal from or electricity from a coal-fired plant costs 41 cents a kilowatt hour, from a new natural gas plant 50 cents a kilowatt hour, from a windmill 90 cents
wow.
a kilowatt hour, and from a solar panel 81 cents a kilowatt hour. So what we have is a movement because of the alarmism over so-called climate change or global warming that is spurring, and particularly the state organizations, the states themselves, into pushing renewable mandates for tax reductions at the cost to the ratepayer and the shareholder, or the not the shareholder, the taxpayer and the ratepayer. And what is happening is we're going the wrong direction in Ohio in the turn that House Bill 6 is taken. It in every direction we see the government's pushing high-cost energy on to the ratepayers. That just happened in the Ohio Senate. They should be ashamed of themselves, particularly Senator Matt Dolan of Cleveland. They just foisted 90 cent a kilowatt hour wind and solar generation, mandated it at 8.5%. We had it eliminated in the House bill. Remember, coal-fired generation is 41 cents a kilowatt hour, less than half of what the Ohio Senate just foisted on the Ohio ratepayers, particularly Senator Matt Dolan.
Well, those are the renewable mandates under Governor Strickland, and what that was an unfair advantage for wind and solar. This was an excise fee basically for residential, commercial, and industrial customers with graduated rates, ladies and gentlemen, that went through the years. And we've been on this with legislators at the State House. They were seeking a way to do away with these so-called renewable mandates, basically, which is a bailout and a benefit for wind and solar to stimulate those industries. And that's an unfair advantage. That's government picking winners and losers. And by the way, not with their own money, ladies and gentlemen, but with your dollar and my dollar. And that was actually causing higher energy rates. And we talked about that, Jim, to our constituents, and they weighed in. Now comes the threat by First Energy, of course, because of they endured the war on coal in the Obama years, 8 years of the war on coal, a very long attrition. They were high on coal-generated plants. They had more coal generation than any other power company in the country. And First Energy, of course, services from Ohio all the way over to New Jersey. And they have three nuclear plants here locally, Beaver Valley, Betsy Davis, and Perry Nuclear. Because the market was upside down with these unfair tipping the scales by either the federal government or state governments, like in Ohio with renewable mandates. So here comes another plan to basically provide a fund that would help the nuke plants, because First Energy was forecasting, actually saying, we're going to shut down the nuke plants. We have to restructure. We're restructuring our country, company because of economics. We're going to shut down these nuke plants. Of course, that would mean thousands of jobs in Ohio, not to mention a national security issue with those two nuke plants coming offline, because it was nuke and coal that carries the day when high demand is on the grid in either summer or winter, and especially in winter with these three polar vortexes we've had over the last 5 years. But all that said, legislators in the House, the Ohio House, that is, came up with a plan that would swap out And basically, there would be a benefit to the utility customer, the residential utility customer. We'd actually pay less, even though this fee would go to help supply for the nuke plants. Yet, the Ohio Senate, as Mr. Murray indicated, Senator Matt Dolan from the Cleveland area, basically, he's the one that monkeyed around with this. And now we've got a compromise between the two of the renewable mandates staying in up until the year 2026. And then yet this new fee. So it will mean higher rates for utility payers. And I agree with Mr. Murray. I think they ought to go back to the House version. Most people were in agreement with that. But the Ohio Senate has been the problem here. Jim, your thoughts?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And the war on coal, by the way, has been going on, as you just pointed out, for over 8 years under Obama. That war on coal, he could not do what he wanted to do through legislation. So what he did it by regulations. And thank goodness this new president came in. He's trying to reverse the bad effects of the Obama administration against coal. He's going to have a tough time doing it. You know, it's hard to go back to what you had once they've closed down so many of those coal-fired plants. And the fact is, coal has been such a reliable source for us older folks. It's been a reliable source, obviously, for the grid. And by the way, talking about nuclear, the National Energy Technology Laboratory put out a report sometime in 2018. It highlighted the role that both coal and nuclear played during crises, during these crises that we've had in the past. And I can't begin to stress to you the fact that coal, and we focused on this, I think, on our last show, the role that coal played in providing reliability and resiliency to the grid, particularly when these peak loads challenge us. And again, Bob Murray, thank goodness he's still standing doing what he's doing, because without him, seniors would be suffering even more with the high cost of energy. And Bob pointed out the high cost. My God, the cost keeps going up for natural gas and sun, solar and wind. By the way, I like to quote you, Bob, if you don't mind, when I talk to people here in Washington. Solar and wind cannot be stored at a power plant. And, you know, you can't rely on it. And quite frankly, electricity from a windmill or solar panel, as you say, the cost of that keeps going up higher and higher. Even natural gas, which has been the latest manna from heaven, if you will. But I think it was Bob Murray or maybe Chris told me one time that these wells that supply low-cost natural gas, these wells only last 10 or 12 years before they're depleted, and most of these wells are 3, 4, 5, 6 years old. So that's not a solution. And again, I like to point out what I've heard Bob Murray say more than once, or I've read some of his statements. We have an energy poverty program here, not a so-called climate change problem. And to that end, we at 60 Plus, we work with a lot of conservative groups here in Washington. We were the lead signer on a letter to members of Congress, because now guess what they're pushing? A carbon tax movement. We're not for it. We say what the AARP will not say. It's not good for seniors. It's a bad idea. And we signed on to a letter. Let me just read you one sentence from that letter, the lead sentence. The undersigned oppose any carbon tax. A carbon tax raises the cost of heating your home in the winter and cooling your home in the summer. It raises the cost of filling your car. A carbon tax increases the cost of everything Americans buy and lowers Americans' effective take-home pay. A carbon tax increases the power cost and intrusiveness of the government in our lives. And by the way, the signers on that besides us and Americans for Tax Reform, ALEC, American Legislative Exchange Council, another one which you would appreciate was signed on to by the CEI, Competitive Enterprise Institute, Myron Abel and others, but also Craig Rucker signed it on as head of the CFAC, the Committee for a Constructive Tomorrow. They've been leaders on this fight to stop this carbon tax forever, and of course, we're right in the middle of that fight back here in Washington. One other thing, Pat Boone may join us later. Bob, as you know, he's our spokesman here at the 60 Plus Association. If he doesn't, I want to read a quote that he gave us recently for an article we're doing. Pat Boone said of you, Mr. Murray, he said, Bob Murray is one of those executives who came up through the ranks. He knows what it is to get his hands dirty and his back tired. Bob Murray cares about the people who work for him as well as the customers who depend so vitally on what he produces.
Mm, yeah.
He produced coal, and being from the mountains of eastern Kentucky, I'm enamored with what you do. My father, my uncles, my cousins, my grandfathers, they were all coal miners producing a product that so many seniors depend on. Black gold, we call it where I'm from. Coal is black gold.
And so we're now 3 years into the Trump administration, and we want to focus back on the president's promise to the coal industry. And it has obviously been an upward climb to come out of the Obama years of the war on coal and the unfair exchange and advantages that other energy resources were given, which, quite honestly, the reports indicate cannot supply the grid in times of high demand. That's nuclear. That's coal. Those are the traditional energy suppliers to the grid and remain to be so. You know, Mr. Murray, there's been a lot of discussion about the national grid. Of course, there's PJM, who are basically the grid operators. There's FERC, the National Committee, and we've talked about the problems with FERC, politicizing of that federal agency that oversees the energy sector. But what is your opinion currently of Mr. Perry and what he's trying to do? Because obviously we know we have divided government with the Democrats controlling Congress in the House, but the Republicans in the Senate. What is the administration doing in lieu of that makeup of advancing the issue for coal or coal's future?
Chris, last week I was in Washington, D.C., over 3 days, I met with 40 United States senators about the very subject, about the unreliability of the electric power grid and the dangers arising from the permanent closure of coal-fired power plants. As I said, electricity from coal costs 41 cents a kilowatt hour compared to 80 cents for solar, 90 cents for wind. And these mandates, mandating electricity that costs double, is just an outrage. And the Ohio Senate should be taken to task, particularly Senator Matt Dolan of Cleveland. You see, the average retired couple is paying out 31% of their income in this country right now for gasoline and electricity. That is an outrage. That should not be. That is too much. Yet they're mandating electricity in this Senate bill. The House had it right. Speaker Larry Householder, he had the bill right in the House of Representatives, but with a monkeying around of Senator Dolan and the terrible performance of the Senate, we're now been foisted these price cost electricity rates on them. I was trying to make these points with these 40 senators that I met with last week in the state utility commissions. For instance, it's upside down. The more money an electric utility spends, the more money they make. That should not be. That's good for the shareholders, but it is not good for the ratepayers. And yet, every state, all 50, they pay let the utilities make more if they spend more. So there are many things wrong as far as the president's effort in helping the coal industry. And Rick Perry, that you just asked about, they tried. But the feckless FERC, Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, did not back the president in February of 2018, and Secretary Trump. There needs to be a house cleaning there at the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. I was looking for a word to describe really bad, and I came up with the word feckless, and I think it probably describes them. So the president is trying, but he is not getting the support. That is one of the reasons I was talking to these 40 senators, to keep them informed as to the reliability of the power grid, what people on fixed incomes are paying for the electricity, and all of the other issues that are threatening the reliability of a power grid. We are going to have a major failure of our power systems in the next 5 years. Because, as you mentioned before, these gas wells that are moving coal out only last 10 years. Most of those wells in Ohio are 5 years old now. Is a five-year national energy policy good for our country? I don't think so. That is exactly what we have, because we've closed too many coal-fired plants. The last coal spell we had was at the end of 97, the beginning of 98, and the PJM interconnection, which is 13 states, including Ohio. Coal stepped up for 84% of the electricity during those 12 days. Wind, solar, natural gas didn't help the power grid at all. Yet 22 people died in those 12 days. 22 people died. Electric rates in New York went up from $22 to $200 a kilowatt hour. And the liberals in Boston bought in a tanker of Russian fuel oil, parked it in Boston Harbor to keep the lights on up in New England, which is dominated by liberals who espouse climate change. And by the way, on climate change, the Trump administration itself did a study that you could close down every coal-fired plant in the United States, and it would have an immeasurable effect on global climate temperatures. That was their word, immeasurable. Then they quantified, Chris, immeasurable as 0.02 of 1 degree Fahrenheit. 0.02 of 1 degree Fahrenheit. That is immeasurable.
Well, that is the challenges that we are facing. And, Mr. Murray, I appreciate this report. I'm saddened to hear that exports, are down. I know that Germany has been schizophrenic on the issue, where they were getting away from coal, then they were going back to coal, and then it seems like they reversed trend. But, of course, their politics is somewhat upheaval as well right now, and so that may be a bearing on that. They don't really have clear direction, so we hope that the international markets change for coal for more exports. We know the administration wants that, as well as domestic use. Well, we have with us on the phone Mr. Pat Boone, who is spokesman, national spokesman for the 60 Plus Association. We'll get with him when we come back on the other side. You're listening to the Energy Roundtable with Mr. Bob Murray, who is CEO and chairman of the Murray Energy Corporation, Jim Martin, chairman of the 60 Plus Association. Joining us on the other side will be Pat Boone, who is national spokesman for the 60 Plus Association. I'm your host, Chris Long. We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go away.
Looking out for seniors today. It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity.
And the soldiers who stormed the beaches of Normandy in the Allied liberation of Europe. On D-Day, all those warriors set out on their mission. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt led our nation in prayer.
The D-Day Prayer Project is an effort to add FDR's D-Day prayer in its entirety at the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. This wonderful historical presidential prayer will be a lasting tribute to our World War II veterans. If you'd like to make a contribution towards the effort of adding this prayer to the memorial, go to the website at ddayprayerproject.org. That's ddayprayerproject.org. And we're back. You're listening to News in Focus, a broadcast of the Ohio Christian Alliance, and we do encourage you to go to the website ddayprayerproject.org, and we'll be giving you an update in the coming weeks, one about the temporary prayer plaque that will be there for just 4 months. It's a temporary permit of the prayer to be added this summer, but we're continuing to raise the money for the permanent prayers edition. And of course, that information is at ddayprayerproject.org, and of course, that's a mission of the Ohio Christian Alliance and Christian Alliance of America, our parent organization. And we've been working with the U.S. Park Service and the Friends of the World War II Memorial to get this accomplished. We have just until June of 2021 to get the prayer in the ground, or it's got to go through Congress again. And folks, I can tell you, that's not what we want to do. We want to finish this for the honor of those World War II veterans and for all of our veterans. So thank you for your support. Well, with me on the line is Mr. Bob Murray. He is chairman and CEO of Murray Energy. Also, Jim Martin, chairman of the 60 Plus Association and the national spokesman for the 60 Plus Association, Mr. Pat Boone. Pat, welcome to the program.
Hey, happy to join you. I've been listening for a while, and I'm so glad to hear the strong voice of Bob Murray and the use of that word feckless, because that word is very appropriate. It means useless. It means non-productive. It means foolish. And I'm thinking about this whole idea of the proponents of this global warming and climate change. And in light of the fact that that I was talking on a national television program with solar scientists, that is, they spend their lives, their profession is, you'd think they were blind now, because how can you look at the sun all the time? Well, of course, they look at it through filters, but they study the sun, and they say that the idea that man is controlling the climate of the globe through industrial use of whatever we use is foolish. He said all of our energy comes from the sun, and it comes through things that God created, like coal. Because he did create it, it was for a purpose, and he created all things. But the sun is the source of our energy, and when there are flare-ups on the sun, as there are periodically, it affects our climate.
Yes.
That affects our climate because that's where solar energy comes from and where plant life and all of that comes from. But to think that we are somehow impacting it when we have other periods of history where our climate was much hotter than it is now, before we had industrial output, it just shows how foolish the whole thing is. It is a tactic, just a political tactic, to try to give certain people in certain countries, perhaps, or organizations, control over what we do. And I thank God for coal, because he created it for some reason. Turns out it burns very well. It provides heat and energy. He also provided wind to blow away the pollution. If it's and if we don't have enough of that at the time, then there are other means to control some inevitable pollution that can get into the air. We know that. and it's all being done. And, you know, to sum up what I might have to contribute, the proponents of climate change and doing away with all forms of fossil fuel for energy say that if we do everything that they want done, that in 20 years from now, we will have affected the climate on this earth by less than 1 degree. If we do everything that they want done, the very proponents say maybe we can affect climate change by 1 degree or less. So that shows that even they know how stupid this whole huge campaign is to totally disrupt our ability to produce for America to continue to be the source of all the good things that are happening in the world, and to limit us to a caveman type existence.
Well, we're talking about the energy, folks, if you've just tuned in. And, of course, we're talking about the multiple sources of energy on the national grid and coal being integral to that. It's always been a mainstay of power in this country. But Mr. Obama's war on coal has really devastated the coal industry. Mr. Trump, when he came on and he won in grand fashion, and especially here in the Midwest, in Ohio, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Kentucky, these are states that back the president. And he promised to put the coal miners back to work and to utilize that vital resource that we have in abundance, and that is coal. Now, of course, there's gas fire plants, but they have trouble during the deep freeze of actually transporting their product to be able to burn for energy. The same is true with wind and solar literally fall off the grid. And so that leaves coal and nuke to basically provide for the grid in times of deep freeze. And I'm looking at a chill map, gentlemen, from last year up in Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, the Illinois, and Chicago, minus 53 degrees, International Falls, minus 52 Chicago with all those people. This was last winter. This was our third polar vortex in about 5 years when the proponents of against coal were saying, well, this is just once in a generational thing 3 years ago. Now we've had 3 and 5 years. And Pat, as you indicated, the sun is in a slow cycle right now. There's not many solar flares. Scientists have said it may go on as long as 10 years of a slow cycle or a quiet cycle. That means we're going to have these kinds of deep freezes in the winter, and it is going to mean that we're going to need the energy of reliable sources. Mr. Murray, your thoughts?
The reliable source of coal is being eliminated. It's very dangerous for America. And as Pat said, and I said earlier, the Obama administration itself, in their, which conducted the war on coal, their EPA said you could close every coal-fired plant in the country and the effects on climate temperatures would be immeasurable, and they quantified it as 0.0 of 1 degree Fahrenheit, 0.02 of 1 degree Fahrenheit. It's a dangerous situation. Too many coal-fired plants have closed, and we're relying on gas, the wealth of which will be depleted in 5 years. They only last 10 years. Most of them are 5 years old in the Marcellus and Utica shale. And that is what I attempted to explain to those 40 senators last week. You can't have a five-year national energy policy in America. And these windmills and solar panels that some make a great deal of money on but make no sense at all to the couple on fixed incomes that are struggling to pay their electric bills. It's twice as expensive, as I just said from the study. It's not, it's a crisis. And that is what I went down there to do last week in Washington, was to talk about the alarming permanent closure of coal-fired plants. We've closed too many plants now. And we've had reasonably mild winters now, and if we get a bad cold snap, we're going to have more than the 22 that died in the last one, in my judgment, which would be horrible. And it's not necessary. We've got to get away from the religion or politics of climate change. You know, the Vikings didn't call Greenland Greenland for nothing. Climate change is a natural phenomenon. And the Obama administration itself said you could close all the fossil fuel coal-fired plants and it wouldn't have any effect. It's all politics and alarmism. But what I do see is energy poverty for these people that are paying out 31% of their income, and that is the average American retired couple.
Yeah, I saw that, Mr. Murray, what you're talking about. Those are high rates of those on fixed incomes. I know that that really perks the ear of Jim Martin, who is an advocate for seniors across the country, those on fixed incomes, as we at the Ohio Christian Alliance represent families. And I'm looking here at these rates of what wind is 90 cents a kilowatt hour, solar 81 cents, gas 50 cents, but coal's at 41 cents. It seems to me, if you're looking at comparing apples to apples, that coal is a better bargain for the grid and it would actually save me money. But what we see here in these compromise bills on HB 6, as you said, Mr. Murray, here in Ohio HB 6, that bill now with the Senate version is actually going to cost utility payers more, when the House version was actually going to save us some money. Jim, your thoughts?
Well, again, to go to what Mr. Murray just said, seniors are disproportionately impacted more than any other segment of our society because of, their fixed incomes. Gas, 50 cents, wind, 90, solar, 80, coal is 40. King Coal is not dead. The naysayers who think King Coal is dead, they don't recognize that when we innovate, we produce, we grow, we keep job opportunities alive, we unleash technologies into the future. And again, thanks to Bob Murray, these things happen. Also, the naysayers, they say that, well, the coal industry doesn't innovate. Where have they been? They'll never change. But because of technological growth in biotechnology, the development in hydrocarbons and others across the board, we're getting cheaper power thanks to coal and reducing carbon emissions. That's huge in the atmosphere. Like I said earlier, 60 plus signed on to a letter with other leading conservative groups rejecting a carbon tax. That's not the solution. But let me make one final point on The 50th anniversary of the landing on the moon is this Friday, I believe.
Yes.
They'll be quoting people like Buzz Aldrin. Thank God he's 88 or 89. Mm. Jack Smith, who is a scientist and a geologist. These guys, they never get asked about climate change. The people in Hollywood, they like to talk about, the exciting things, landing on the moon. But these guys, Buzz Aldrin said something to the effect recently. I don't have the direct quote in front of me. But he says, why don't we pick out something in the 1970s? He said, for millions and millions of years, the climate has been changing. What may be warm now, it may cool off later. But just to pick out one little speck is absolutely ridiculous. Of course, the liberal media will not quote Buzz Aldrin or Jack Smith, who was a noted geologist and an astronaut. So these are guys. Watch them. When America's Apollo astronauts speak on this topic, these folks should listen, but the media is not going to listen to them. This Friday will be the 50th anniversary of the moon landing. And my God, scientists like Jack Smith and people like Buzz Aldrin should be listened to.
Well, Pat, obviously, these are concerns for seniors across the country, obviously, in our bottom line of, what we pay, and those are going to be on a fixed income. You're many of your audiences are older now, and then this is a concern to them as well. Your thoughts?
Yeah, my audiences are, by and large, older,
But very loyal, I may say.
Very loyal. There was a comedian once who commented on that. He said, I'm always glad when every member of my audience is still alive at the end of my show. my audiences are loyal. They're good Americans. And, of course, they bring their kids and their grandkids. And I know when I see young people in the audience that some of the older ones have said, I want you to hear what we liked when we were your age. And they'll hear me sing April Love and Love Letters in the Sand Moody River and Friendly Persuasion and look at their parents wonderingly, that was a hit?
No.
Because it doesn't, there's no rap in it, there's no hip-hop, there's raving rants and stuff in it. It's just music that you can hear and sing again later. But I'm very aware that that the older folks are the ones that are paying and in danger of paying prices they just cannot afford. And I want to salute Bob Murray and Jim Martin and even take a little credit myself for something that most people don't know. But Trump, of course, was elected against all odds. Nobody thought he had a chance. And
yes.
Particularly in the election when it was, I remember election night so well, and it was coming down to the five battleground states where it was assumed that the Democrat candidate was definitely going to win. No, there was absolutely almost only a low percentage, unlikely possibility that Trump could win those five states. But one by one by one, they went into his column so that he could then provide the support that he promised for the energy sources that we must have if we're going to survive.
Well, that's right. And those states are going to be critical again. Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan. These are states that are going to be critical, along with Ohio and Florida. Ohio, pretty much, they're looking at Mr. Trump won it by double digits. I do believe that the president's popularity is good here. Florida is going to be a battleground. In fact, there's going to be some people from Ohio going over to help in Pennsylvania and also up into Michigan. That's already happening, and trying to help those states because they want to see a second term for Mr. Trump. Jim, your thoughts on that?
Well, President Trump, promises made, promises kept. Kind of unusual for politicians. What a refreshing approach. He makes these promises, he gets in office, and he keeps those promises. Thank goodness he does. And by the way, Pat, those seniors, they listen to Pat Boone. They get up and they vote. He says, I challenge you to get off your rocking chair and get out and vote. Pat, no
yeah.
question, you move the needle with that senior element. And the seniors have gone Republican the last three or four, well, since Bush 2004.
Yeah.
Has gone Republican.
Mm-hmm. Pat, you have been extremely helpful to our citizens understanding what's really going on in the world. Another person that understands is the president himself. I'm having him a week from today in Wheeling, West Virginia for a big event for him. And he gets it. He's a friend of the working people. That I've learned about him. You know, when he was building those buildings in New York, he had to get to know the carpenters and the bricklayers and the boilermakers. He is a friend and understands working people. And that's the underlying everything. That's the greatest part about him. And he gets it about the cost of electricity. He really understands it. That's why I was meeting with the Senate. He needs their support.
Yes.
And they're not understanding this complex issue because of all the alarmism and misinformation being put out on behalf of climate change, which isn't even occurring.
And you know, you call it complex, Bob, but it's really not. It's ultra simple. If you want heat, you burn something to get the heat.
And, yeah, that's true.
And you have to have that, and it makes sense. The complication comes when all the other people have made up these ideas and these plans, and they throw them into the mix. They complicate it. It's a simple issue. I think it's a God thing. God created coal for one purpose, to be used for energy.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all, so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
Well, folks, if you're listening right now, you need to call your congressman, you need to call your senator here in Ohio and let them know that this is an important resource going forward for the energy grid and, of course, for costs for those on fixed income, seniors, single moms, and families, of course, who are looking at their bottom line. And that's what we can do as an advocacy organization. We can actually let our voice be known to our elected officials. And also here in the state of Ohio, you need to call your state senator, also your state representative on House Bill 6, and basically do the House version, which would be a better way to save the two nuke plants here in Ohio that would save thousands of jobs. Obviously, in our opinion, it's a national security issue because you take those two nuke plants off the grid and you've already closed all these coal plants. Mr. Murray would love to provide the power, but they've actually limited him by closing too many coal plants, and we have nothing to replace them with. So those two nuke plants are vital to the national grid, and then of course coal is vital to supplying the needs of our energy needs. So you need to let that voice be known in Columbus and in Washington, and that's what the 60 Plus Association does, along with the Ohio Christian Alliance, and that's what you can do, ladies and gentlemen, is let your voice be heard. Jim, your thoughts?
Well, one final thought on Bob Murray talking about the national security implications of the grid. Mr. Murray made suggestions to the feckless FERC. I'm going to pick the feckless FERC. They rejected it, but guess what? This president is still evaluating what Bob Murray suggested. Thank goodness.
Yes.
The president listens to people like Bob Murray.
Bob, your thoughts?
Not enough, congressmen, senators. And certainly the agencies, the swamp, the bureaucracy is not moving with President Trump. As I said, he gets it. But that Washington situation, and he has an entire 20 of the other party running against him for president, all of whom want to abandon the use of fossil fuels. That's gasoline, that's oil, that's natural gas, and that's coal, which would be a disaster for America. And by the way, none of them ever had a real job. Biden never had a real job. He's always been a politician. Bernie Sanders never had a job in his life. Other than as mayor of a small town in Vermont. He's had a number of wives, but never a job. And so they don't know what having a job is or how to create a job. I'm so proud of the fact that my Lord Jesus Christ has allowed me to create tens of thousands of jobs.
Yes.
In my lifetime.
Yep.
For other people. That's the one thing of my life that I continue to live for, is for them, my employees, all 7,000 of them. But it's getting harder and harder because there are 52 bankrupt coal companies in 2016. We're now into another wave of bankruptcies because of the global climate warming, whatever, scare, alarmism. Banks in Wall Street are no longer loaning money to coal companies.
Unbelievable.
Creating another round of bankruptcies.
It's literally cutting off our noses despite our faces. It's
40% of our coal fire plants have been closed.
Mm-hmm.
That's 123,000 megawatts. 42 more thousand are scheduled to be closed by 2022, and there isn't enough coal fire generation now. We're coming to a crisis. The gas wells will be depleted in 5 years in eastern United States. And Ohio is really going to carry the brunt of what we see as an unavoidable lack of reliability in the power grid, and electric costs are going to skyrocket, just like they have in California where these policies have been adopted. They pay four times more for their electricity there than you do in Ohio.
Well,
and that is where we are headed with these votes, such as the one taken by the Ohio Senate today.
Okay. Well, we've just about run out of time, Mr. Murray. I was hoping today we would get a more promising report, but obviously you've given us something to think about and obviously to communicate to our legislators about. We certainly care about the coal industry. We care about the energy grid and, of course, the bottom line for seniors. I want to thank Jim Martin of the 60 Plus Association, National Spokesman Pat Boone for joining us today, and, of course, Mr. Murray of Murray Energy. Thank you for all the fine work you do and the hard work you do for the American working man and woman. Thank you so much, Mr. Murray.
Thank you, Chris.
God bless you all.
There's the Medal of Freedom, Chris.
That's right.
Start something for him to get the Medal of Freedom. Elvis Presley got one. He didn't do nearly as much for America as Bob Murray.
Amen to that.
Jump for that. Well, God bless you guys.
God bless you, Pat.
Well, thank you, and we hope that you have a great time next week, Mr. Murray, with the president down there in your neck of the woods. God bless you, sir.
Thank you.
And everybody, thank you for listening.
Listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.